Judges chapter number 4 tonight, if you grab your Bible, Judges chapter 5 tonight. I want to just look at one phrase. I don't think I'll be very long tonight either. I just want to give you just a thought tonight from Judges chapter number 5. The story is Judges 4 and 5. That's why I mentioned chapter number 4. It's the story of Deborah and Barak and of course, how they went to war against Sisera. And, of course, they won. And then in chapter number 5, we have the song, kind of a song of victory mentioned in chapter number 5. And we'll look at that, just a couple of verses with you out of this particular chapter, Judges chapter 5. All right, let's pray together. Father, thank you again. We come to you and say, please, Lord, help us. Help us, Father, draw closer to you tonight. Speak to us through your word. Challenge us, change us. Father, help us be distractions tonight. May you get all the honor and glory. Thank you for the song. We are sinners saved by grace. Thank you, Lord, for being able to sing congregationally tonight about you and all that you do for us. And Father, again, help us tonight as Christians. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Mr. Shimon, do me a favor. Let's just look at verse number 1. I don't have to read very far down. But Judges chapter 5, verse number 1 says, then sang Deborah and Barak of the son of Abinoam on the day, saying. Now, I just want to tell you what day it was. In chapter number 4, look at verse 23, the last part of chapter 4. So God subdued on that day, Jabin, the king of the Canaan, before the children of Israel, in the hand of the children of Israel, prospered and prevailed against Jabin, the king of Canaan, until they had destroyed Jabin, king of Canaan. Now, Jabin had had the children of Israel under captivity, under suppression for 20 years. And then, of course, God used Deborah, one of the judges, to lead and give direction. And, of course, Barak went out and fought. Now, look down in chapter number 5 again. And let's just pick up verse 2. It says, praise you, the Lord. This is a song now. Praise you, the Lord, for avenging of Israel. When the people willingly offered themselves, hear, O ye kings, give ear, O ye princes. I will sing unto the Lord. I will sing praises to the Lord God of Israel. Lord, when thou wentest out of Seir, when thou marchest out of the field of Edom, and the earth trembled, and the heavens dropped, the clouds also dropped water, the mountains. She's kind of recounting the battle that took place in chapter number 4. God is the one that gave them victory. And she's obviously, and Deborah and Barak are giving honor to the Lord. Verse 5 says, the mountains melted from before the Lord, even that Sinai from before the Lord God of Israel. Then verse 6 is kind of a history, because Shamgar was the judge before Deborah. In verse 6 it says, in the days of Shamgar, the son of Anath, in the days of Jael. Jael was the one that took the spike and nailed Sisera's head to the ground. The days of Jael, the highways were unoccupied, and the travelers walked through byways. In other words, they weren't able to walk out in the open. So verse 7 says, the inhabitants of the villages ceased. They ceased in Israel until that I, Deborah, arose, a mother in Israel. All right. So she gets to verse number 7 in this song, and she says, man alive, we remember what it used to be like, and then God gave us victory. And the next verse is really what I'm a key on tonight, is verse number 8, really 8, 9, and just 8 and 9, I guess. But verse 8 says this. It says, they chose new gods, then was war in the gates. Was there a shield or spear seen among 40,000 in Israel? My heart is toward the governors of Israel that offered themselves willingly among the people. Bless ye the Lord. I want you to look at that first phrase. It says they chose new gods. Now, church family, stay with me for just a moment. And again, I don't really believe it's going to be a long message tonight. I want you to think this through. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. We call that the what? Called the Pentateuch. It was the books that Moses wrote. And then Moses, of course, was the leader of Israel. And then after Deuteronomy, what's the next book? And the reason it's called Joshua, God told Joshua to write, but Joshua was the next leader of Israel. When we get to the book of Judges, at the end of Joshua, the last chapter, and then also Judges chapter 1 and 2, it tells us that the children of Israel obeyed, followed the Lord all the days of Joshua and all the days of the elders that outlived Joshua. Then there arose another generation which knew not the Lord. We all understand the story here in the book of Judges. The book of Judges has 7 cycles of apostasy. Those cycles were fourfold. It was they sinned, then they would cry unto God for deliverance. They cried, They sinned, then God judged them. Then they cried, then God delivered them. That cycle happened 4 times. They sinned, were judged by God, they cried, and God delivered them. Well, that cycle happened, and the reason it happened is because the theme of the book. What was the theme? Every man did that which was right in his own eyes, all right? And by the way, we're not far from that, all right? We have a tendency to do the same thing, live for the flesh, not the spirit. Every man does that which is right in his own eyes. Now, in this chapter here, in Judges chapter number 5, Deborah and Barak, the song that they're singing is almost recounting or thinking back of what took place prior to the battle with Sisera. Sisera was the one. He was the captain. They had 900 chariots for 20 years. He was the captain for Jabin, the king of Canaan. And for 20 years, they suppressed Israel. And so here they go out in the battle. Doesn't tell us how many people were in the battle. It just tells us that Barak had 10,000. He went against this big 900 chariots and this crowd of army of Jabin. And so God, the Bible says there wasn't one man left. I mean, they annihilated Jabin and all of them. But Sisera got away on foot, and he ends up in the tent of Jael. And Jael takes the nail and puts his head in the ground. And so he dies. All right. So, but in this chapter, this next chapter, the song that she's singing, she's thinking about the reason we had all these problems because Israel chose new gods. Are you all with me so far? Does it make sense? So in verse number 5, look at your Bible again. In verse number 5, it says, they chose new gods. Then what's the next word? Let's try that again. Then what is the next word? Okay, we have a King James Bible, I hope. All right, verse number 8, it says this. They chose new gods. What's the next word? Then. Okay, good. I'm just making sure you're with me tonight. The word then. All right, so in other words, in this song that Deborah's singing, she's saying, hey, listen, because we chose new gods, this is what happened to us. Now, I want to tell you, in the day that we're living in today, we talk about God, but truly, I would say as a whole, Christianity as a whole, we have chosen new gods. Alrighty? Now, we could talk about from the church side of things. I mean, technology can be a god. And I'm not against putting screens up here in the front. I don't want them to be a distraction during the preaching. But anything as far as putting up announcements or doing a missionary, I don't have a problem with technology. I don't have a problem with microphones. I don't need a microphone. We use a microphone just for taping purposes. But I'm not against technology. But we can't make that our god. In some churches, music's the god. Okay, now, I would say that I wish I was a little more musically inclined as far as the leadership of the church, because music is important to a church service. There's no doubt about it. I appreciate the time that the people put into the specials and preparation. And you ought to prepare your special and to honor the Lord. And they do. And it's just a blessing. But music is not the god. All right. When it comes to the buildings, the building is not our god. In other words, the people that came in on Thursday night, and they I don't know how many people came out, and they were just complimentary about us hosting the meeting, and then of course having the facilities. But church, the truth of the matter is, we met in the bus barn. If you remember those days, we met in a bus barn for church service for a year, for almost a year, I'm guessing. No, that's actually not a year in this particular bus barn, but we've met in a gymnasium over on the old site for years. There's nothing, so we could meet just anywhere. That's not our God. We have to make sure that in our homes that we don't choose new gods. I want to tell you something. Technology is stealing time. You know, those things that were supposed to save us time, stealing time, all right? Everything from watching videos to playing games, video games, to just internet usage and all this other things. What's happening is it's stealing a lot of our time. Church, I mean, if you really sat down and wrote down what you're doing with all your time, you'd find out which God you serve. The truth of the matter is, we spend time with the things that we love, and the things that we love most, we give the most time to. And I want to tell you that you need to think this thing through. If you spend 15 minutes for your devotions and you think you're doing a good job, but you'll spend an hour on social media, then I can tell you what your God is. Okay, about 3 of you agree with that. All right. All I'm trying to get you to think about is this, is that the children of Israel came into some major problems. And the reason they had major problems is because they chose new gods. There was only one God. Alrighty. Now, quickly, I'll just show you. See, there's 3 there. You knew there'd be 3 because God likes 3, I guess. But here's the next thing I want you to see there. He says, first of all, he says they chose new gods. He says, then was what? All right. Then was war in the gates. All right. Hey, brother, fellow, can you help me for just a second here, if you don't mind? Skylar, come here for a second. I want you to help me for a second here. All right. All right. Just stand right here next to me, if you don't mind. I'll come down here, if you don't mind. I want you to stand here next to me. Okay. Now, all right, now let's pretend these are 2 gods, okay? We're going to pretend this is the real God, not good typecasting, but this is the real God, okay? The real God's over here. This is my false God, little g God. This is the big G God, all right? Now, if you were going to fight me, and I had this God with me, you might think twice. Amen. If you were going to fight me, and I had this God with me, you wouldn't think at all. You'd say, man, knock that sucker out of the way. And Isn't it interesting, little g, then they chose new gods, then there's war in the gates. Now, Mr. Chairman, when you think about the cycles of apostasy, I mean, Othniel was the first judge. And then Ehud, Lefty stabbed Fatty in the belly, Ehud was the second judge. The third judge was Shamgar. And then the fourth judge was Deborah. Now, when you go back to these different things, and you follow the cycles, I mean, one cycle of apostasy was 40 years. I think another one was 80. This last one was 20. I mean, long periods of time, children of Israel under oppression. I want to tell you why. They chose little g God. And I want to tell you something. There's always going to be war and turmoil in your life when you're following the wrong God. All righty? You need to be with the right God. Thank you very much. Q-tip. You look all right. You need to choose the right God. Now, I just want to tell you that the things that we choose has everything to do with what our flesh wants. And I want to tell you something. Big G God is a faith thing. Little G God is a sight thing. And what I mean by that is that things that draw us away from God are things that we can see, feel, and touch. But I want to tell you something. Those things do not mean anything, and those things are not worth it. What you need to do is, and I'm not saying we don't feel God, but obviously we don't see God with our physical eye. But it's a faith thing. Why do you get up and read your Bible in the morning? Say we now. I'll hurry. The reason we get up and read our Bible in the morning is because it's a faith thing. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Faith tells me that if I've got a book that's alive. And because it's alive, I want to get up and read it so God can speak to me and so that I can speak to God. It's a faith thing. But you know what? Watch me now. Some people, when they get up in the morning, would rather not go to their Bible of a faith thing to be able to hear from God because they think they're looking at words on paper instead of God speaking through those words to us. They would rather not do the faith thing. They would rather do the sight thing, little g, and they'd rather pick up a newspaper or they'd rather pick up a tablet, or they'd rather pick up a video screen, or they'd rather pick up something that they can, that's tangible. I want to tell you something. When you start to choosing little g's over the God Jehovah, I just want to tell you something. You're going to have a war. You're going to have a war. You're going to have turmoil. And it's going to be in the gates. There's war in the gates. It wasn't a matter of the children of Israel chose to go to some other country. You know, the wonderful thing about the United States of America, usually when we fight, it's on somebody else's property. I mean, it's very few times. Brother Woods over here knows history better than I do, but we had it once over in Hawaii, and we had it once at the Twin Towers. Is that the only two times of non-American soil?
Alaska.
Oh, you got good, man. Okay, well, I didn't know about that one. But three times? You know what? You know why? Because when we have war, we're going to go fight on somebody else's. Let's tear up their property, not ours. Hey, I want to tell you something. You're going to have war in the gates. You're going to have war up front if you choose little g gods. Now, I've preached messages on idolatry before, and of course, idolatry is covetousness. Idolatry is yielding to the temptations in our own life. I mean, there's three different things in the New Testament that talks about what real idolatry is. But I want to tell you something. To me, idolatry is anything that takes you away from God. Hey, you came to church tonight, but can I tell you something? Other than sickness, because obviously some folk are sick tonight, there are sometimes people miss church because of little g gods instead of coming to be able to be with God, big G. And little g God might be a football game. Little g God might be a basketball game. Little g God might be some type of recreation or fun. I want to tell you something. That's a choice. They chose new gods. And guess what happened? Then there was war in the gates. All right. I want to tell you something. If you don't want to have war in your life, if you don't want to have turmoil and problems and struggles, then I want to tell you something. Don't choose little g gods. Don't choose things that you, with your flesh and your sight, say, I want that. Choose by faith God Jehovah. Spend time with Him. All right. Now look at something else here. Look back at your Bible, verse number 8. They chose new gods. Then was there war in the gates? Then it goes on to say, was more of a question here. Was there a shield or spear seen among 40,000 in Israel? Now think about that. If I was against you in battle, the best thing I can do is take away your weapons. That's right. Come on. I want to tell you something. Our Constitution guarantees the right to bear arms. I want to tell you something, young people. I just want to tell you something. It's okay to have a gun. Have a cannon. I don't care. All right. I just want you to understand that we're living in a society that they want everybody to be scared of a gun. The problem's not the gun. The problem's the person who's shooting the gun. Now, Again, the message tonight is not on the right to bear arms, but I just want you to understand something. The devil's pretty smart. If I'm going to attack somebody, I want to take away all of his protection. And church family, can I tell you what happens? When a person chooses little g gods, when you get all wrapped up with the things of this world, instead of getting wrapped up with the things of God, the first thing that's going to happen, you have war in the gates. The second thing that's going to happen is you're going to be without protection. Was there a spear or shield in 40,000 Israelites? Not at the time of Deborah, there was not. And I want to tell you why. Because the enemy took it all away. It's kind of hard to fight when you don't have a weapon. Now, can I tell you something? The reason Job had his hedge of protection is because Job picked big G, God. Hey, Satan, have you observed my servant Job? That he walks uprightly, he eschews evil, he's perfect. He fears me. Have you noticed my servant Job? He says, does he serve you for naught, God? You put a hedge around him. You know why God put that hedge around him? Because he chose God. Amen. Hey, I want to tell you something. If you want to have the protection of God on your life, choose him. Choose to read the word. Choose to spend time with him. Choose to put him first. Choose to give to him. Choose to witness for him. Choose to live for him. Amen. They chose new gods. It's your choice. And you get a chance to choose in your life. Am I going to choose God or am I going to choose things? Am I going to choose God or am I going to choose flesh? And I want to tell you something. If you make the wrong choice, what you're going to have is, number one, you're going to have war. You're going to have problems and struggles. You know, some Christians, you know, you scratch your head and think, I don't know why this is happening to me. Okay, let's have a counseling session. Question number one, are you reading your Bible regularly? Question number two, do you spend any time in prayer? Question number three, do you give your tithes and offerings? Question number four, are you living a spirit-filled life or are you living a fleshly life? I mean, it's real simple. All I've got to do is find out, am I doing God's general will for my life? And I'm not saying testing, because obviously it came to Job too. I'm not saying testing doesn't come to your life. I'm just saying that most of the time it's not testing. Most of the time it's turmoil and self-inflicted turmoil. You know why? Because of choices. Choose God. So the first thing I see that when a person chooses these new gods or little gods, then you're going to have war. If you choose these little gods, then you're going to have no protection. Now, here's what I like about this last part. Look at verse number 9. Verse 9 says this, my heart is toward the governors of Israel that offered themselves willingly among the people. Bless you, the Lord. Now, in verse number 9, it calls them the governors of Israel. In verse number 2, it says, praise you, the Lord, for the avenging of Israel when the people willingly offered themselves. Now, can I tell you, there are always going to be people who choose little g gods, and when they choose those new gods, there's always those who won't. There's always those who, and sometimes a small remnant. And tonight, I don't know if it's you or not, but you ought to be one of those people. You ought to be one of those people that willingly offer themselves. Hey, listen, I know we're fighting against the Canaanites, and I know that they've been oppressing us for 20 years, and I know the odds aren't in our favor, but I'm willing. Hey, can I tell you something as a Christian? I know all my friends are watching the wrong kind of movies. I know my friends are talking about things they shouldn't be talking about and are dirty. I know my friends aren't doing that which is right, but I'm not. Hey, only 10,000 people went to the battle, and that was only out of 2 tribes of Israel. Church family, there were 12 tribes of Israel. Why did only 2 tribes go to the battle? Because there was only a few that was willing to offer themselves willingly. In a crowd this size, and it doesn't matter if you're in a family, a school, or a church, in a group, it's usually not everybody that's going to willingly offer themselves to go after the big G God. It's going to be a few. It's going to be some. And I want to say something. You ought to want to be that one. You know, I'll be that one that says, okay, I don't care if anybody else has the devotions, I'm going to have it. I don't care if everybody else is cheating the class, I'm not going to cheat. I don't care if nobody else shows affection to my parents, I'm going to show affection to my parents. What you've got to get again in your mind is, don't just be like everybody else. Be a leader. Last night I went to the purity banquet, and I was actually spoke at it, but at the purity banquet at Cornerstone Baptist Church in Emporia, Kansas, and they had about 100 kids there. And they played a game at the beginning of it. And what they did is it was kind of a sword drill. They gave 2 verses out. And the person would look up 2 verses and stand up and say the verse. Well, I'm sitting in the back observing the whole thing. Well, he gave a proverb. Almost every one of them he gave a proverb. And the other one he gave another reference. And they had something to do with pureness or whatever. Well, I know a few verses from Proverbs. And so when he said the verse from Proverbs, one of the girls stood up in the back and she said the verse, or she was reading the verse from Proverbs and she read the other verse. Well, I knew the Proverbs wasn't right. I mean, I knew it wasn't right. But everybody else in that auditorium, where a bunch of these other young people, they're looking up the verses too. And not one of those young people said, they let the girl came all over the front and got her, was about to come all over the front to get her prize, but she didn't even do the right verse. And I'm sitting in the back and I'm thinking, now they're all using their Bible, say they knew the same thing I knew. There was not one teenager that stood up and said, hey, she's not right. That's not the right verse. Not one. It bothered me, still bothers me. So during the service, I told him, I said, you know, you fellas don't even say, when something's not right, you just let it go by. Hey, I want to tell you something. That's where we're at. What we do is we want everybody to be part of the group. And can I tell you something? If for you to do right, you're going to stand out sometimes. And sometimes people are going to make fun of you. But that's not a bad thing. You know why? It's the difference between big G, little G. It's the difference between God, Jehovah, or following things of the world. Hey, it's a matter of doing flesh or spirit. Take a stand for the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm going to tell you something. There's enough in your family. Some of you have 2, 4, 6, 8, 9, 10. Some of you have several people in your family. And I want to tell you something. All of your siblings are not going to go the right direction. And they're going to criticize you. Well, you know, tattletale. Stand up for what's right and do what's right. Even in a home setting. Because I want to tell you something. The preparation for life is the home. And if you can't stand up in your home with your brothers and sisters, what makes you just think you're going to stand up in a classroom setting or a business setting or a job setting or a church setting? It's not going to happen. Amen. Hey, all I know is this, is they chose new gods and it was a choice. We get to choose too. Life's full of choices. And you know, it's interesting too. It was interesting because I was studying this out. When it says in both those phrases that they offered themselves willingly, are they offered willingly? When you look it up in the Hebrew, you know what? Actually, the first definition means volunteer. It means they volunteered. Hey, can I tell you something? When people choose new gods, there's going to be a war. When people choose new gods, there's no protection. But when people choose new gods, there's a few people that say that's not my choice. Hey, what I'm trying to say is, choose God. Sometimes it's going to be embarrassing. Sometimes you're going to be the person that stands out. But I want to tell you something. The person who chose God is always the winner. Always the winner. It's all about who you choose. There's no doubt about it. You know, it's funny. The basketball and volleyball is going on. The intramural stuff is going on. It's just a joy to be with church family on Friday night watching everybody. You know, it's fun to see everybody and just, of course, to see them in a different type of setting. You know, it's one thing to see each other in a setting like this, all dressed up. But it's another thing to see somebody playing a game of volleyball or basketball. They kind of let their hair down a little bit. But, you know, on the volleyball and the basketball, the captains all sat down and chose their teams. And they chose their teams hoping to choose of what was going to win the game. Hey, you know, the wonderful thing about the Christian life is if you make the right choice, you win the game. If you don't make the right choice, you don't win the game. And the right choice is God. Let God be first place in your life. And you know, if that happens, guess what? You beat the Canaanites. You win the battle. You have peace. You have protection. You have God's blessing. Would you bow your head and close your eyes tonight?